Hello, and welcome to the Spicy Web CSS Nouveau course, Season 1, Episode 1, Introduction, a.k.a. Fasten Your Taste Buds. The Rebirth of Vanilla. A funny thing happened on the way to the year 2023. Cascading style sheets, CSS, got good. Like really, really good. Some said it could never be done. Others said you could only really take advantage of it with clever build tools and abstractions placed on top of it. Still others shouted we should just burn it all down and start over. Thankfully, we can say with confidence those days are over. It's very possible to be a skilled, confident web developer and author real, honest-to-goodness CSS. Without hacks, without vendor prefixes, without quote-unquote proprietary abstractions and non-standard syntaxes, without worrying if everything's going to break in the next browser update, and without biting your nails that append-only spaghetti code style sheets will render your software architecture brittle, unmaintainable, and slow. Folks, we finally arrived at the promised land, and it's glorious. Wait, no more hacks? Really? It feels like nearly the entire time we've had HTML and CSS as a technology stack in web development, we've understood it as sort of a pile of hacks. You couldn't just imagine a layout and swiftly apply that layout in a completely straightforward manner using proper semantics and object-oriented-like programming logic. You are forced to ingest volumes of esoteric knowledge and offer up choice sacrifices to the gods just to get the basics done right. And even then, it was rife with compromise. No wonder back-end and front-end developers have looked askance at each other. CSS was as mystical and Gnostic a technology as the gnarliest stored procedure in a crufty old SQL database. The bad old days of float-based layouts was the most obvious example of this, but even after Flexbox came on the scene, it took some time for the spec to shake out and people to wrap their heads around how Flexbox essentially meant that div-based row and column markup had become obsolete. The native CSS grid spec itself similarly went through multiple fits and starts before it finally solidified across all major browsers. And even after that, it's taken some time to percolate through the minds of front-end devs everywhere. Remember when installing a grid CSS framework was a necessity for projects of any real size? Those days are simply gone now. Gone! Whether you're talking about layout, design system tokens, typography, animation, and even scoped components, HTML and CSS has solid answers for nearly all of it. And the few remaining nasty bits are getting resolved at a jaw-dropping rate. At long last, it feels like all the low-hanging fruit has been addressed. Now we can get on to the really wild stuff. Container style queries, anyone? Smirk emoji. Modern CSS is almost unrecognizable to a 2007-era mindset. In a relatively short amount of time, we've seen gargantuan leaps forward in primary CSS layout features, the rise of responsive and intrinsic design techniques, the introduction of amazing, advanced selectors and functions, unprecedented control over color, typography, placement, and parent-child content relationships, all the yummy goodness of the latest semantic HTML and clarification of ARIA for improved accessibility, component-based styling APIs made possible by custom properties, shadow parts, and declarative templates, native nesting, yeah, nesting, in CSS. Mind-blown emoji. In short, the CSS of today is almost unrecognizable as compared to its 16-year-old counterpart. It's a different technology altogether. It's bonkers. The reason I want to focus on 2007 as a point of comparison is because, sadly, much of our industry mindset of this is how you write CSS still has its roots in that era. I mean, the introduction of BEM, Block Element Modifier, for naming classes and structuring style sheets happened in 2005. That's like a bajillion years ago. And sometimes when you see pushback against authoring style sheets in the form of, quote, best practices don't actually work, unquote, the kind and texture of vanilla CSS, often BEM in particular, being railed against remains barely unchanged from this vintage time frame. Jeez. The funny thing is, I probably do agree that best practices don't actually work if those practices don't factor in all the amazing advances in modern CSS. We should be very wary of tool chains, which are really nothing more than a regurgitation of concepts forged well over a decade ago. Whenever you see the phrase modern web development in these sorts of marketing materials, think modern to a 2007 era mindset, because often there's just not much very modern about it. Ultimately, it's not about legacy versus modern, it's about web standards versus weird tool chains. Listen, normally I don't have a beef with proven tech that's not considered modern. I often do champion ideas pioneered in the past, and caution people not to assume modern automatically equals awesome. However, I have a big problem when real-world modern web standards are fabulous, yet get sloughed off by tool vendors offering questionable alternatives in a bid to grow a viral and conceptually, quote, proprietary ecosystem. I believe every front-end tool's ultimate desire should be to become obsolete. In an ideal world, everything you require for essential website architecture would just be standardized and built into the browser or the web server you use. With CSS, we're nearly there. And as more time passes where the type of vanilla CSS being forcefully rejected is not even representative of what's currently possible, the more my nose starts to twitch. You deserve a clearer and more honest appraisal of the current state of affairs. Yay, GNAFA. You ain't gonna need a framework anymore. In my view, the response to this unprecedented level of progress is conclusive. For most projects, most of the time, YAG-NAFA. Yes, that's right. I'm pronouncing the end of an era. The great frameworks of a past age serve their purpose as well. Bootstrap, Foundation, Bulma, we salute you. Thank you for your service. Tailwind, that was a hell of a thing. Point is, we live in a whole new world now. What took 50 lines of code before now, take two. What took 20 lines of horrible hack code before now, take nothing. Because we can use another technique entirely. Take everything you thought you once knew about CSS and cast it aside. Some of it is still entirely valid and legit, yet other aspects of it are not only unwise today, they are actually harmful to legitimately modern vanilla-first architectures. Good news if you're somewhat new to CSS altogether. You're in for a real treat. Vanilla CSS is chef's kiss. Consider yourself fortunate you have no idea the pain and the misery us old-timers once had to endure. What if we need better branding than vanilla? Maybe strawberry? Or Mediterranean sea salt caramel? Perhaps we should rename vanilla to something else. I prefer strawberry ice cream myself. Or maybe cherry. I deploy cherry style sheets with a dash of whipped cream. I like the sound of that. Seriously though, while it's true that the brand cachet of vanilla has gotten much better in recent years, I feel like we still need to ratchet up the momentum here. Many, many developers, both longtime and new, still think their job requires the use of a framework, or SAS, or whatever extra heaps of build tooling. Heck, I admit I still use PostCSS for a thin layer of syntactical sugar. Now don't get me wrong, if your job necessitates that you use a framework in your course of business, then use it. Sometimes the particular needs of a particular project leads to a particular course of action for which tools are best to use. But, and this is a big but, I cannot lie, we need to adjust our default thinking in this area. As an industry, we must begin to assume any new web project can start out as close to the metal as possible, since that metal has gotten so insanely capable. Then, if you really need to reach for something additional, you have the ability to do so, while fully understanding and articulating the reasons why, as well as all the potential downsides, because there are often very real downsides to pulling in opinionated dependencies. Even then, you still get extra brownie points if those additional tools have a bent towards integrating easily with the concepts of existing and near-future web standards. Append-only style sheets. Yep, real problem. The real solution, object-oriented views. A common complaint I hear from people who are skeptical of vanilla CSS is the problem of append-only style sheets. In other words, as your project grows, you just keep adding more and more style rules to your global style sheets, eventually arriving at a time when you have monstrously large files with dozens or even hundreds of special cases for random screens and pages scattered across your code base. Oh, if only you'd been able to stuff a bunch of utility classes into your HTML directly, or plop blocks of CSS-like directives into JavaScript component files, problem solved, right? Lol. All you're doing is hiding away what, in the end, is the same amount of complexity. Sure, you don't have monstrously large CSS files anymore, but you do have monstrously large, complex, confusing, and wet, right every time, templates. Hate to break it to you, but I find it personally offensive to open up a file containing HTML and have to wade through line after line of divs and spans stuffed with a cornucopia of pt-4 and md:inline-flex and decoration-dotted. WTF, is all this noise doing in here? Or see a blob of sort of CSS interpolated with a bunch of JavaScript theme data. What's wild about all this is true native web architecture, conceptually, is a lot less complicated than folks make out. It's comprised of three parts, aka programming languages. HTML. This serves the structure and content of your application. CSS. This serves the presentation and emotional experience of your application. JavaScript. This serves the behavior and reactivity of your application. You can think about this as the three legs of a stool. Mess up any single leg, and the stool becomes wobbly and eventually falls over. Seasoned developers will also be familiar with the battle-tested principle of progressive enhancement. Because HTML is the least brittle, and JavaScript is the most brittle of the three languages, you should start with HTML first. Get the structure and content of your site right the first time, especially as the crucial launching pad to important considerations such as accessibility, SEO, and variable user agents. Then apply styling to your HTML to present your content in a good light and help people feel comfortable and engaged. Then apply interactions and UI controls when and where appropriate when pure HTML and CSS aren't enough. The important innovation in more recent years around all this stuff isn't that you can muddy the waters and mix your HTML into your JS code and your styling into your HTML and your complex build tools into your div tag soup. It's that you can co-locate all three languages, HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, into modular, reusable packages called components. Components aren't a panacea, but they offer an exciting path forward on all but the simplest of web projects, because they let you apply OOP, object-oriented programming, principles like encapsulation and documented public and private APIs, as well as dry, don't repeat yourself, thinking to the front end of the web. These are the same principles we've used to tame complexity and enable large yet maintainable systems in other programming contexts for decades. Unfortunately, quote-unquote components often arise in conversation as the sole domain of trendy userland view libraries such as React. Need to write components for your web project? Use React, or Vue, or Svelte. Here's the thing. You don't need any of that to build components. All you need is a tool that can encapsulate a wad of HTML, encapsulate a wad of CSS, optionally encapsulate a wad of JavaScript, and then pass that along to the browser. And what's really pretty freaking cool is that the browser already has a way to associate co-located HTML and CSS and JavaScript together. It's called, drumroll please, custom elements. Woohoo! We'll dive deeply into custom elements, also known as web components, later on in the course, but suffice it to say, if your backend can render custom elements, you are golden, with minimal, if any, custom front-end tooling. What you need is a design system. Migrate away from globals. Banish them. It's time to stop thinking of your website markup as a bunch of globally scoped streams of text and media, and start thinking of your website as a graph of objects, discrete building blocks you can easily construct and reuse across your project many times over. In other words, these would be the views, as articulated by the MVC, Model View Controller, pattern. Need a bespoke design on a particular screen? Try as hard as possible to implement that design using the existing building blocks you've already constructed, rather than invent new ones out of thin air. Yes, I'm talking about the buzzword du jour, design system. And yes, I'm talking about atoms and other components within that design system. It's wise to be skeptical of hype in our field of endeavor, but I firmly believe all the energy around how to define and implement design systems is well warranted. Here's some good news to shout hallelujah about. Due to recent advances in HTML and CSS, we can now implement design systems using browser-native platform technologies. And this new CSS gives us numerous features which are perfect for object-oriented design systems thinking. How cool is that? And because we can use the browser-native web platform, we can scale up or down as project requirements and team dynamics indicate. Are you a solo dev working on a small project? Your design system can be small and straightforward. In fact, you might not even need any build tooling. But perhaps you work with a whole front-end team on a large company project. You can still take advantage of the web platform, but now you can also invest a little more on the tooling front, as well as invest in advanced techniques around modular design and layered architecture to scale up your design system. Either way, the web has got you covered. Vanilla, cherry, strawberry, whatever we're calling this awesome new world, it's time to dive in and see what's possible. In the next episode, we'll start at the very beginning and evaluate what, if anything, we actually need to reset as we set up a greenfield CSS project. Let us begin. This concludes episode 1 of season 1 of CSS Nouveau. Please move on to episode 2 of the course to continue.